This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring author, psychologist, and daily contributor, Siobhan Scott.
Ashley Benefield. You know, you might have heard that name before last year and year before that, year before that. She pops up every now and then. She's the former ballerina who has accused her husband, Doug Benefield, of abusing her. And then in self-defense, trying to do the stand your ground argument, which the court in Florida said last year, we don't believe anything you just said, is trying to say that she shot her husband in self-defense when he was trying to help her move out of her home and was pregnant, in fact, with their child. The arguments are that, she wanted him to have nothing to do with a child once a child was born. Joining me to discuss, Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author. Her murder trial is coming up very soon. The court has already deemed a lot of these arguments and arguments to dismiss as not having, I don't have the quote in front of me, but it's something like one scintilla of truth to them of the abuse allegations. How is someone like this going to argue this in a murder trial when there's no real evidence of the abuse?
Yeah, this is one of those cases where I think having psychological testing or psychological evaluation or assessment of some sort would be helpful. If she is going to be claiming that battered woman syndrome, which is diagnosable, we can look for that clinically. If that was what drove her to murder her husband, then that's where I think a clinical mental health person could be relevant. Does she, you know, test with a pattern that would be indicative of somebody who really has been a victim of battering and abuse? At this point, we have heard that there was testing, I believe, during their child custody evaluation, but they're fighting to keep the results of that out.
Tell me more about battered woman syndrome. What exactly, how is that defined?
Yeah. It's basically a subset of PTSD that happens to a person. And again, it can go male or female. You know, either person can be battered by the other.
Sure.
But most often, it's a woman who has been battered, intimidated, coerced, abused, controlled in an ongoing pattern by her male partner, husband, or boyfriend. And so she develops an alternating periods of anxiety and depression. And maybe very shut down, common having sleep problems, feeling hypervigilant, keyed up, on edge. And people are really impacted on a very deep level that can continue even after the relationship ends. And so these are things that a clinical mental health person could look for. And, I won't say too much about how you look for it, but there are things you could do to try to determine if someone is faking that they were abused or if this is a person who really shows clinical signs of that happening. Now, it's not 100% because as we saw in the Sherry Papini case, people can fake abuse to therapists and some people are really good at it. Mm-hmm. So you have to look at the whole context of the story and see if it all adds up and if it all makes sense. And as in the Sherry Papini case, it wasn't all adding up and it wasn't all making sense. And that was obvious from the very beginning. But that would be something I think where a psychologist could get involved. And certainly if there were testing that had been done with the child custody case, there may have been results in that testing that were not favorable for her and her personality construct.
What are the challenges in determining that, the credibility of a claim that she's making when you don't have other evidence? You don't have anyone saying that they witnessed any sort of abuse. There was no bruises on her. There was a slight scratch on her side, which really, I mean, if you're moving and you have a lot of boxes, I get scratches on me from that easily. I think every time I move, I got like a couple like box cuts somewhere or scratches. But there was no evidence of the abuse. So she's making these claims and obviously a psych evaluation would be beneficial to finding the truth. How do you assess and what are some of those signs? How can you tell if someone is telling the truth? Are there any specific, you know, tells on individuals going through that?
It's really, I think doing a good evaluation in that case, it's really a very highly specialized art form. Mm-hmm. One of the things is you ask similar questions at a lot of different times and in a lot of different ways. And when people are lying, they forget what they said from time to time. And they also will, there are certain ways that they answer that you can, you know, get a sense for this is genuine or this is drama here. We're putting on a story. And that along with, so really good clinical interview that takes place maybe over multiple sessions over time, you look for inconsistencies. You look for, you know, normally when any of us are doing assessments, we write things down or we record the interview and we're looking for details and we're looking for consistency. And people who are lying, they slip up. And they start telling stories slightly differently or dramatically differently sometimes. And they forget what they said on another occasion. Well, believe me, the clinician is not forgetting. We're paying attention to all those little things. And then with psych testing, if you're really doing an in-depth evaluation, it's very hard for people to fool certain kinds of tests. There's the MMPI that looks at personality constructs. And there are all different things embedded in the test that look for lies and look for people who are telling stories. So there's ways to do a good evaluation.
Let me ask you this. If someone, I mean, to the outside world, to a healthy brain, it looks kind of cut and dry. Like if you're lying, you know you're lying, you're telling the story, you're trying to fill a narrative for what you want the outcome of this to be. But in cases like this, or even like Sherry Papini as well, are they always aware that they're lying, or do they believe their narrative? I mean, could she be in a place where she truly believed some of the stuff that she said? I mean, she made some really bizarre accusations against him about saying that he knew how to kill people and he knew how to poison people. And then she's made accusations that he was trying to poison her. Again, no evidence for any of it. And that he learned how to do these things when he was in the military. Some friends of his have come out that were in the military with him and said he was like a tech guy. Like he didn't do any of those things. So there's no reason he would ever say that. I mean, people, of course, can embellish. They can say all sorts of things, which could have said that to, I don't know, impress her or whatever. But it doesn't add up with what life reality truly is. Could she like just kind of invent some of these things in her mind, but then think that narrative is true and then somehow have that fear and then overreact when he was helping her move and somehow think that he's charging at her or he's attacking her when in fact he's not? Maybe he was just going for the lamp. Look, I'm going to carry this out to the U-Haul and then get shot.
Yeah, it's certainly possible that somebody with a certain kind of dramatic, intense personality could exaggerate in their own mind and come to believe their own story in that way and believe their exaggerations. And I think if you were trying to get to the bottom of it, that's exactly what you would do, is look for collateral information, look for other people who knew this guy. Were other people hearing the same kinds of stories, you know, or was it only in the context of this relationship? And if it was only in the context of this relationship, then we really do have to question it very closely if this is the truth.
How often do you see individuals in a situation like this, where it's a female and a male, and the female has some reason why she doesn't want this person in her life? Let's say abuse is not going on, but they want them out and they're going to say whatever they can, because it's not that hard to get believed by just making some claims. How often does it happen where people are just making things up and they know that it's probably not going to be dug that far into? Obviously here a murder took place. So it's going to be looked at very closely, but when there's not a murder involved, it's just, I want you out of my life and I'm just going to say a bunch of shit about you. And hopefully, you know, it's not going to go much further than that, other than you're going to avoid me and not want to have anything to do with me because I can make your life hell.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. It happens. And I think it happens a lot. The time I see it most often is in child custody battles. And it a very high percentage of people accused of abuse, molesting the kids. I know people that work for CPS have a very heightened radar when there are allegations of abuse made and it's in the midst of a custody battle, because people notoriously will accuse each other of abusive behavior just to get an advantage with trying to gain control of who has the kids. And it's a hard one to sort out. And sometimes you never really do get to the bottom of it. You know, the kids grow up and are 18 and all of a sudden custody isn't an issue anymore. But people will fight for these things in the court system for years and years and years. And it's really awful.
Yeah. And in the end, the kids lose and the parents ultimately lose too. They think that they're going to try and get that upper hand at that moment in time. This is a fascinating one. At this point, the child wasn't even born when he was shot. There's so many questions on this case. It's going to be fascinating to watch and see just what that jury ends up believing.
Mm-hmm.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advance access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.